This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you so much for joining us. I want to just, before we begin on the U.S. presidential elections, we have another president in town, Filipino President Rodrigo Duterte, said to be the Asia's Trump. Mm-hmm. He was called that by the media in the run-up to the elections in the Philippines recently. The media is saying that the focus of the talks he's going to have here will be largely on security matters, though the Sabah claim is not on the agenda. Very quickly, what do you think what is the reason for this focus on security rather than, say, trade?
Well, Southeast Asia has always been a region that is concerned with security, both among the member countries of this region, as well as with relations to the big powers, as well as the threat of terrorism now, which seems to be greater than before. But on the Sabah issue, I'd say that when President Duterte arrived in Malaysia, the position of the Philippine government is that although he may not raise the issue of Sabah, he would talk about it if it were raised by Malaysia.
Okay, well, just move on, because I guess the fact that we're going to be having a new president in the White House in January has implications for how America deals with the South China Sea issue, because Duterte very famously kind of pivoting away from the U.S., its traditional ally and former colonial master, pivoting towards China. And Malaysia, too, in the media, is seen as a wobbly domino pivoting to China in this contest between the kind of global superpowers. But first, Bun, tell us, what is your reaction to the elections and especially the results? What are your main takeaways from that?
Well, we have to see what Mr. Trump's administration would look like as far as this region is concerned, especially. But I think there have been a lot of assumptions about him, mainly negative, especially from his critics, And unfortunately, this is quite unjustified because, this is something that we have to wait and see. Mr. Trump is someone like President Duterte, is, someone who speaks his mind, has little or no concern for political correctness. But at bottom, I think the bottom line for both of them is that, they really are concerned about the real issues of the day. So let's wait and see, because Mr. Trump is, I would say, less hostile to other countries compared to Hillary Clinton.
Okay, that's an interesting analysis because, it has been said of Hillary that she is largely kind of militaristic in her responses to global issues. And we'll come back to that shortly. I just want to ask you about the Malaysian papers. This morning, Sina Harian had as its headline, Dunia Islam Risa, the Muslim world is anxious. In fact, we had a whole range of headlines, mostly kind of in the negative region, including the Malay Mail's Good Luck USA, with a picture of the White House with the words Trump Towers stuck on it. Do you think we are unnecessarily hostile to this Trump presidency?
Yes, the problem is a lot of the image of the Trump presidency or would-be presidency comes from his critics as well as his opponents headed by Hillary, until the election. So they have been piling on a lot of the negatives on him. As I said, a lot of it unjustified so far as you can see. And, his comments about keeping out Muslims and so on from the U.S. has actually been filtered and narrowed down to first Muslims from those troubled countries like Syria, Iraq, and Libya, and then further narrowed down to those individuals who have a record of suspicions, suspect behavior relating to terrorism. So when you look at Hillary Clinton as a neocon and a Zionist supported by Israel, I think, the issue with Muslims and Mr. Trump really does not arise at all.
Isn't it also true that Israel's Bibi Netanyahu has kind of been very welcoming of Trump? He didn't like the Obama administration and sees Trump as more likely to align with Israel's interests in the Middle East?
Not likely, because Mr. Netanyahu's position on the deal with Iran was the sticking point with the Obama administration. Mr. Trump has said that he would negate that deal, which really raises a lot of other questions, because in a way, the deal was not a perfect one. Critics of it have said so, and in a way, you could say that's true. But could it have been any better? The question is, when Mr. John Kerry went over to negotiate a deal with Iran and with other countries as well and Europe. You know, could it have been any better? Because that was probably the best deal that could, in realistic terms, be achieved at the time and even now.
Well, so if Trump is, you know, like he's very famously saying he wants to tear up NAFTA, he wants to tear up this and that, trade deals and such, would tearing up the Iran deal be destabilizing for that region?
Well, I think the implications are minimal. You know, a lot depends on whether Iran really wants to pursue a nuclear weapon. It has repeatedly said that it does not. It does not want that. And the deal is in a way to reassure countries like Israel that, you know, Iran is under certain constraints. But, you know, even with or without a deal, if Iran really wants to pursue a nuclear weapon, it can do so because the deal itself is not foolproof.
Okay, just turning back again to domestic sort of dimensions of this story, the Prime Minister is reported as saying that he has a personal relationship with Trump. And in fact, reports have come out that say that he has a signed photograph of the president-elect with the words, my favorite PM. Do you think this is of any significance, the fact that the Prime Minister has a personal relationship? It was said in the reports framing Najib's visit to China that he was miffed. I think one newspaper said he was miffed with the U.S. for that Department of Justice investigation to one MDB. Do you think things change on that level? Will a more sympathetic Trump administration change, say, even the investigations into 1MDB?
Well, it's too early to tell. We have to wait and see. But, you know, a lot of things are still up in the air. And given the Trump administration that is to come from January, you know, there are still too many variables because... you have to add the fact that Mr. Trump is someone who is not very predictable. And let's hope that, you know, that what is predictable and what will become predictable later on will be for the better rather than for the worse.
Okay, in terms of, you know, regardless, Republican or Democrat, is an American administration going to push very strongly its own kind of democratic agenda, that meaning trying to impose democratic values in other countries, funding civil society organizations, and, you know, sort of being in favor, leaning towards regime change in certain instances? I mean, do you think, regardless, that a Trump administration will also react in this way?
Well, it would react less in this way than a Hillary Clinton administration. Not only is she more confrontational with other countries, but more interventionist as well. So, you know, a lot depends on how the details are worked out. But I'd say that in general, Mr. Trump is less inclined to meddle in the affairs of other countries.
Now, the Najib administration fought a long battle domestically to persuade the Malaysian public of the benefits of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. With Trump, who has said that he's not in favour of the TPP, where do we go from now?
Well, Mr. Trump has obviously been more clear against the TPP than Hillary Clinton. And, you know, he has also been more clear on other issues like opposing the invasion of Iraq under Bush as soon as he found that, you know, it was not a good thing, but Hillary Clinton continued with it. So, you know, he tends to articulate his thoughts or feelings rather much more than other presidential candidates.
What about the tensions in the South China Sea? Trump seems to have an antipathy towards China. And China, in sort of receiving this news of a Trump presidency, responded in a kind of a passive-aggressive mode, says, well, this is what you get with democracy. Do you see dynamics shifting dramatically in the way in which tensions in the South China Sea are managed?
No. In fact, the relations between the U.S. and China with the Trump presidency would be better than with the Hillary Clinton administration would have been. In the weeks leading up to the election, WikiLeaks had released information about how first Hillary had threatened Chinese leaders in confidential meetings, and then with meetings within Washington, planned to surround China with missiles. So, you know, Mr. Trump is someone who has not been threatening to other countries, whether it's Russia, China, or any other country, until a certain point when he was goaded and, you know, taunted by the Clinton campaign. So he came up with allegations against China about currency manipulation and so on. So if he were to be pressured, he might change his position and be more critical or hostile to other countries. But left to himself, he's more of a businessman.
Okay, speaking of business and also the Hillary Clinton campaign that targeted and blamed Russia for much of its woes, Vladimir Putin was the first to kind of congratulate Trump on his victory. Do you see a restoration of ties between the U.S. and Russia? And is this good for global for reducing global tensions, especially in the Baltics?
I think any reduction in tension anywhere would be good. We're not really talking about, hostile threats or plans for invasion or anything like that, unless people were to be so persuaded by the arms industry that they would, trigger a confrontation leading to war. So I think if relations between countries anywhere can be improved, that would certainly be for the better.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.